This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduh, wa nasta'inuhu, wa nastahdihi, wa nastaghfiruh, wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina, wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله فيا أيها المسلمون اتقوا الله أوصيكم ونفسي أولًا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون قال الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسول فقد فاز فوزا عظيما رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us all to be gathered here today for Salatul Jumu'ah. This is a great ni'mah, a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless each and every one of us. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us like we are gathered here, but in Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. This week, we have been speaking about modesty, al-haya. And we've been speaking about many ayats of the Quran and ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about modesty. We spoke about modesty in speech. We spoke about modesty in action. And we spoke about modesty in our appearance. And we know that modesty is a massive part of being a Muslim. It is one of the distinct characteristics of Islam to be a modest Muslim. And we went through a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam where he says, "Inna li kulli dinin khuluqa wa khuluqul Islam al-haya." That verily every religion has its distinct character, and the character of Islam is modesty. Now we know this is a big part of our faith. But we are in a dilemma. We are growing up in a society where there is not much modesty that we can physically see. We don't see a lot of modesty that could help us uphold that great character of Islam. And a lot of the times, when we look around us, it doesn't have to be necessarily what's physically around you, but also what you look up on social media, the trends that are happening today, the influences that come online, who influence us to think a certain way. And because of that distraction, many of the Muslims are not understanding what modesty is anymore. And there are so many different examples that we can look into. For example, if you look at the styles of a boy or a male and how they are supposed to be. If you look at what the trends are of today, when you look at how they act in front of other people, what they perceive as normal may be perceived in Islam as something inappropriate. For example, the styles of their hair, their clothing, the tattoos that they are exposing in front of other people, the pride of having a lot of muscles and showing it out, not saying it's wrong to have them. It's actually encouraged. But the point of showing off in front of others with those intentions, those are the trends that are happening today. At the same time, amongst the boys, amongst the males, the trend of acting like females, acting like women, those are also some of the things that are happening that are now perceived as something normal. So these are the things that is happening, and society, they are influencing us to think like this. At the same time, we have our girls, our women. They are growing up in a society where wearing the hijab may be seen as something not normal, something weird. When they are covered up, when they are wearing loose clothing, as something that is strange. The encouragement online or in the society to wear tight-fitting clothing, to expose most of the body. Don't worry if you're around the men, everyone's normal, it's okay. To sing and dance in public, to follow certain trends that are online and challenges, that they are challenging our mind to change our perception, and they say it's to become free. It's to become free from that trapped world that you live in. That is what the society is trying to do. And it has a massive negative impact on us, our children, our Muslim, who are trying to grow up and uphold the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you see a Muslim, so if we look today in this school, when you see the boys wearing what they're wearing, covering their awrah, having respect to people around them, not raising their voice in front of elders for that respect, having a haircut that is Islamically appropriate. And if you look at the girls wearing the hijab, wearing something that is covered and is loose, the question is, why do we do this? What is the point of this? And how can we have the love of our modesty in our heart? Because that's the challenge. Because you may be asked to wear what you're wearing, you may be asked to act a certain way, you may be asked to speak a certain way, but you may not understand why. That's not normal in the society. So what do we need to change? We need to change what's in our heart. We need to fix what's in our heart. We need to fix what's in our mind. Then and only then will you accept to become a modest Muslim, a righteous Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He says, يَا بَنِي آدَمَ قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, O children of Adam, meaning all of us, we are the children of Adam, we have bestowed upon you, we have given you clothing to conceal, to cover up your private areas, and as an adornment for you. But the clothing of taqwa, the clothing of righteousness, that is the best. That is from the signs of Allah that perhaps you will remember. Now think of this verse. Allah Ta'ala says that the clothing of taqwa, as a metaphor, that is the best for you. So we need to fix our heart first, connect with Allah Ta'ala, have that taqwa, and once we have the taqwa, we would love to act in accordance to Islam. That's what we need to fix. Our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once that is fixed, inshallah, you will see great wonders in your life and you will be content and happy with what you're doing and you will not feel weird in front of others. Rather, you will feel proud to be a Muslim and to show your identity. I want to share with you a story of a sister. And this story I heard as I was watching certain clips online, and she gave this story, a beautiful story. Her name is Khalila. If you want, you can YouTube her, you will find her story. She said, it's a story of her coming into Islam. And it's such a beautiful story. She said that she grew up in the UK, she's from the UK. And she said that, you know, she was from a Jewish background, but her parents were not that religious. So they were growing up doing certain things that were against the teachings of Judaism. And she said that when I was a young teenager, I became a rebel in front of my parents. I started doing things that my parents didn't really want me to do. Not for religious reasons, but just it wasn't morally correct. See, she said that I became a party girl. I would go out and I would go to parties, I would go to clubs, I would do all of those things. And at the same time, she thought school will not help me. She said school's not going to help me, so she left school altogether. Her parents were not very happy. And she said, I'll try to find a career that will help me in the things that I am best and I love doing. So she loved to party, she loved to dance, she loved to sing. So she decided to become a performer. And she wanted to go through that path. She said, while I was doing that, I found that people started to respect me because of what I was doing for their own desires. She said that I would go up the stage, I would dance, I would sing, and the inappropriate clothing that I would wear, that is what attracted people to come, and they would pay for that. And I would start getting an income. I would start getting money. So she said, I started to join up with other performers and other artists, and I would do that on a stage, on a proper stage and proper place. So she said, it became my career. But subhanAllah, she said, while we were doing that, a friend of mine became a Muslim. And she said, I never expected that to happen. And that friend of hers was giving her dawah. A lot of the times was giving her dawah. And she said, man, I'm not going to become a Muslim. No way. But that dawah continued and continued and continued. There was a time, she said, that my friend said to me, that Allah, God that we believe in, He is the most merciful, He is the most forgiving, and He is the most loving. And she said, I started to think, God being the most forgiving, God being the most loving, God being the most merciful. She said, if I did something that was against the desires of people, no one will forgive me. Everyone will start hating me. Everyone will start talking behind my back. Everyone will start posting negative things online about me. Right? But she said, I started to think, God, Allah, most forgiving, He will forgive me. He will be merciful towards me, and He loves me. And she said, I started to think about it. That because God is greater than anything. And then she said that there was a time I used to carry little stones. She used to call it lucky charms. And she would carry it with her. And she said that I would think that that brought me some type of protection and so on and so forth. She said, my Muslim friend used to tell me, it is only God that protects you. Those stones don't protect you, subhanAllah. So she said, a time came where I was with my friend and prayer time came. So she said, my friend was praying in front of me and I was behind her. She said, I saw my friend praying, going into ruku' or going into sujood. She said, all I did, I put my hands together and I looked up into the sky and she said, God, if Islam is a true religion, guide me. If it is a true religion, guide me. She said, that night I had a dream. And in that dream, she said, it was the day of judgment. And all of the Muslims were together in a jail, in prison. The Muslims were in jail, in a prison together. And she said, I was with them. And in the dream, I was a Muslim. And she said that we saw this massive fence with a gate, and the other side of the gate was freedom. And there were guards. There were guards watching the Muslims that they don't escape from that prison. She said that, you know, a time came where we disguised ourselves and we wanted to go out towards the gate, towards freedom. So she said, we went as a group to hide. And one of the people that were with us, they said, Allahu Akbar. They said loudly, Allahu Akbar. And she said, that's it. Our cover is blown. We're going to die. And subhanAllah, she said, there was a guard who shot at us. Right? No, our cover was blown. They shot at us. And she said, I saw that bullet coming in slow motion. And then she said, Ya Allah, you're the only one that can protect us. That bullet came, turned, and it went away. And she said, a gust of wind came and took us up above the wall and we were free. She said, that was a dream I had. And that's because of that sincerity. And she said, when I came out of that, I woke up, I told my friend, and immediately I said, I want to become a Muslim. So she said, they went to the local masjid, and she became a Muslim. Slowly, slowly, she changed her life around. She started to pray, fasting, so on and so forth. Cutting the story short, I would encourage you to listen to her story. And subhanAllah, a time came where she started to cover up, wearing the hijab. She went to the extent of even wearing a niqab. And in that story, she basically mentioned an amazing thing. She said that her aunt who was a non-Muslim, she said, her aunt saw me wearing the niqab, wearing the hijab, and she said to me, do not come near me if that's what you're wearing. Do not come near me if that's what you're wearing. I don't want to see you. So she said, subhanAllah, I felt like I was in prison when I had to satisfy people with my dress and appearance. But now I feel free because I know this will satisfy my Creator. Now she feels free. She went through that journey. So that connection with Allah made her feel free and be happy, subhanAllah, because of what she was wearing. So that was a very inspirational story, inshallah. Now I'll continue in my next khutbah. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. See, the point of that story that you just heard was to enlighten us and to show us that when you are connected with Allah Ta'ala, nothing else matters. You will follow His teachings. You will understand why Allah Ta'ala wants me to act in a certain way, why He wants me to speak in a certain way, why He wants me to dress and look in a certain way. There's no more pleasing others. Why do people dress in a manner that they feel? Because they start thinking, that person will be happy with me, that person will be attracted towards me, that person will say this about me. We start thinking about others and we forget about Allah Ta'ala and what Allah Ta'ala requires from us. So that's what we need to fix. What is in our heart? Our connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And you know, a person who is driving a car, he's required to wear a seatbelt, even though he might be the greatest driver. And he is responsible for all of the passengers to wear the seatbelt. And if he is pulled over by a cop, a police officer, and his passengers are not wearing seatbelts or himself, the police officer will give the driver the fine, not the passengers, the driver the fine, because he is responsible for making sure he wears a seatbelt. He can argue and say, I wasn't in a car crash, I didn't crash my car, no one hit me. But the police officer says, that's the law. You need to wear a seatbelt to protect yourself and others. And he might argue and say, well, they're not wearing a seatbelt, how is that my fault? The officer will say, what? But they're in your car. They're in your car and you're responsible to make sure they wear a seatbelt. Likewise, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, we are responsible for each other. We are responsible for each other. We need to make sure that we are acting in a way that Allah is pleased with us. We are speaking in a way Allah is pleased with us. And our appearance is in a way that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with us. And it is our responsibility to show or share that with others and encourage others to do the same. Because Allah Ta'ala will ask and question us, especially those who are in charge, like fathers, like mothers, parents in general, teachers, heads of schools and heads of mosques. They will be asked by Allah Ta'ala, it was your responsibility. Did you make that effort? Did you tell others about it? Otherwise, we will be fined by Allah Ta'ala. We will be punished by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So to bring that love with Allah, that connection with Allah, and to know that Allah is merciful and He is the one that we should be pleasing and nobody else, that should be enough for us to change ourselves, insha'Allah Ta'ala. Just remember one thing and I will end this off. Two hadith. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." He said that this dunya is a prison for the believers, for the Muslim, and it is a paradise for the disbelievers. Right? So you might see all of these people around you on social media being so happy. But that lady that we spoke about, Khalila, she also said, and I quote, "When the lights are turned off and the cameras are put away, people were living in darkness and they were unsatisfied and not happy." You may think of it that they are happy, but they're not. They go through depression because there's nothing else to look forward to. There's no akhirah for them to look forward to. We have an akhirah to look forward to. So for us, you may be restricted in certain things, but remember, Allah Ta'ala is going to give us much more in the akhirah. And I would also like to end off with a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he said, "Bada'a al-Islam ghariban wa sayaudu ghariban fatuba li ghuraba." He said that Islam came as something strange. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was giving da'wah and how the Quraysh found it so strange, Islam came as something strange and he will leave as something strange. But he said, "Fatuba li ghuraba." Give glad tidings to the strangers. Become a stranger. Become someone who only does things to please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, even though you may be the only one. So next time, when you are with your friends who may not be acting in an appropriate manner, you become that person that can shine that light in front of others. You may look strange, but you are indirectly giving that da'wah to everyone else. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of our sins. We ask Allah ta'ala to make us a righteous Muslim, to make us modest Muslims, to make us Muslims who say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and enter Jannatul Firdaus. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us, to grant us the highest of paradise. And inshallah, we ask Allah ta'ala for all of those Muslims who are suffering around the world to help them, to get them out of that suffering, and to give them ease, and to give them Jannatul Firdaus. Ibadallah, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اغفر لنا يا رب العالمين اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا ولوالدينا وارحمهم كما ربيانا صغارا والجميع المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. Please stand up, make yourself.